Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
It's kind of like, you know how you go out to eat, and sometimes you like order a really great filet mignon, and this isn't that. Today is broccoli day, okay? So I'm just going to tell you, today's broccoli day. So give me a break and eat your broccoli. Okay, that's how we go getting it. Today we're going to start a 5-week series, unless we can do it in 4 weeks, and some people are going to say, please do it in 4 weeks. We're going to talk about it in a very important book of the Bible, but ironically, some things have changed, because in my research for this week, Hebrew children, the very first book of Scripture that they're taken to learn is the book of Leviticus. In recent, if you ask people around, what's one of the books that you've never read, people will say Leviticus. Because Leviticus is very, very difficult. And people get stuck in this book, but it's important. And I hope that through our journey, what we're going to see is Christ in Leviticus, and to understand that the image of Jesus Christ that we see. This book is important because it answers some questions, like why did Jesus have to die for sins? It answers that question. It answers the question, what even is sin? And it also tells us some things about God's character, which is kind of rough. Because when you read Leviticus, you get this idea of there's all this bloodshed and there's all this kind of rough stuff, and it's hard for us to understand it. So I admit that it's a hard book to grasp, but I believe it's also a very misunderstood book. People today in our culture love to take one or two verses out of it and try to paint a picture of God as an angry, hateful, mean God, where if we understand Leviticus and look through the right lens, we're going to understand that God is, in fact, a loving, gracious God who is doing everything he can to have relationship with us. So a question for us, or a first statement in our journey today is why Leviticus can be hard for us to understand. Why is Leviticus this difficult? Well, the first thing is because we live in a very different culture. And most of us, if we really want to be honest, most of us, when we approach a scripture and when we approach just about anything, we look at it through the lens of someone who lives in the United States of America in 2019. Okay? So when we approach this book, it's really hard because it's full of subjects that do not seem relevant to our culture today. And so that's one reason. We live in a world in all this technology, and we have a place that we come to worship in that is temperature controlled. How many of you are thankful for air conditioning? Amen. Praise God for air conditioning. On the ninth day, God made air conditioning. He did. So we live in a very different culture. We have the ancient world versus the modern world. If I want to know some information right now, basically I just take out my phone and I can Google it. If I want to know something about a person, you can get Googled. That just sounds like weird. It's like, I Googled you. What? Doesn't sound right. But you can learn all this information at the tip of a fingertip. The tip of your finger. You can find all of these things. You can have more knowledge on a little thumb drive than when I was in school would fill 3 entire buildings in computer. I went to Walmart this week to get a replacement backup hard drive, and I got a 2-terabyte hard drive that was this big. You have no idea how much information that is that can just be contained on this thing. So we live in such a different world. Plus, if we want to look at the culture of these individuals, it was a culture that was totally embroiled in pagan sacrifice for appeasement to all these pagan gods. Particularly, and if we see several things in the book of Leviticus that it deals with, was kind of dealing with people who worshipped the god Moloch. Okay, god little g of Moloch. And what these worshippers of Moloch would do, it was horrific, is they would take their firstborn and they would offer them for financial prosperity for the remainder of their lives. And so God is against the innocent killing of children. I'm going to say that again. God is against the innocent killing of children. And it is the heart of God to not have these things. So we also have the contextual problem. When we approach the book of Leviticus, some people say, well, how does this relate to me? Well, we're talking about this is Old Testament versus New Testament. This takes place at the end of Exodus, so the book of Exodus. So we're going to see Leviticus is not a new covenant book. It doesn't tell us things necessarily to do in our worship. So that's another reason it's hard for us to understand. But perhaps the most difficult thing for us to understand is that it is not as much narrative as it is law. How many of you on your free time, and you're like, wow, I have an afternoon off, it's raining outside, the weather's nasty, there's nothing to do, all my chores are done, I'm going to sit back and open a Chilton's Auto Manual for some pleasure reading. You're not really going to do that, are you? And if you're like me, you don't read owner's manuals anyway. You don't read those things. And what we see is this is not a narrative book. The book is an instruction manual for worship in the tabernacle. It was dealing with individuals who were having a society of sin and a culture of sin, and individuals who were struggling with all of these things inside of them, and how in the world could a unholy people relate to a holy God? And so the reading is not as interesting as stories, and many of us, we view it as negative. Because the topics, there are basically four topics in the book of Leviticus. The first topic is sacrifice. I mean, how much do we deal with animal sacrifice? We don't have that here in our culture. So you have the first and the last part are there, and then it deals with the priesthood, which is kind of weird, and we really don't understand it, how these individuals, you know, they dressed funny and they did these different things. Then we had these laws of purity and cleanness and uncleanness and what would make us clean, things that we would eat, things that we would not eat. And we get through and we look at the text and we say, what did I just read? Which is why I called the sermon that. What is this all about? Why is this even here? Well, it's a tall order, and boy, in our conversation today, it's hard for us. So I want to tackle the very first topic that's addressed in the book of Leviticus, and I apologize for the broccoli, but we got a big old plate of broccoli today, okay? But it's important. So let's look so that we can understand why sacrifice. What is this entire sacrificial system really all about? First point for us today is this. It's about this first point, that God is perfect and God is holy. God is perfect and God is holy. Okay, but because when we want to understand what the word holiness is, the word holy means to be special, means to be set apart and pure. So God is special. God is set apart from everything else. God is pure. And so he has this calling. And if we want to understand that he created mankind for relationship with him, and he made a covenant with mankind that we read in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Let's all take a deep breath and read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you'll die. Yeah, surely you're going to die. So, right there, this is called the Adamic Covenant. This is one of the first covenants that God made with man. And it's a pretty awesome covenant. I mean, think about this covenant. I made you, we have fellowship, we're hanging out, and you can eat from any tree in the garden. But don't eat from this one tree, and here's even the why. Because, everybody say because, if you eat in it, you're going to die. Pretty straightforward covenant, right? So some of us, and as we talk to people, and I've had conversation after conversation with people who struggle with becoming a Christian, because they say this: well, if God loves us so much, why didn't he just make us so that there was no chance of rejecting him? Why did he even give us the choice? Why would God even, is it love to not give the choice? In fact, God loves us so much that he does not force himself upon us. As an expression of God's love in the initial Adamic covenant, he gives him, he says, look, I'm going to have everything here for you. Everything you need. We can be in fellowship. You can talk with and walk with and communicate with a holy God because you have no sin. That would be great, wouldn't it? One rule, one stinking rule. Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. No, it's not an apple tree. I always hear people would say in the youth group, oh, they ate an apple tree. Now, that's what someone made a picture of that one time. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we know the story, don't we? What happened? Adam and Eve, they had this thing happen, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. She, Eve, took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Verse 7. Then the eyes of both were what? Were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloth. Now, let me back up. For just one reason, because some people say, well, the sin was nakedness. They were naked. That's not what the sin was, because they were naked before and it wasn't an issue. Now, was it? I'm not saying shed your clothes. Please, Lord. Heavenly Father, do not misinterpret this sermon today. What I'm saying is this. They had this understanding that they were going to figure out what was good and what was evil on their own outside of God. The beginning of the fall of mankind is saying, I am not dependent upon God. The very fall is this. It wasn't the nakedness. No, now they had an understanding. And now they were trying to judge. And now what's the very next thing they do? It's they sowed fig leaves. Where did fig leaves come from? The garden. What was their job? The garden. They tried to fix themselves through their work. Sound familiar, gang? Here's the problem, gang. You can't. It is beyond ourselves on our own to determine good and evil. Boy, I wish we could get our world today to understand that. Just because the majority of people think something doesn't mean it's right. Hundreds of years ago, the majority of people thought the earth was flat, even though the Bible said that it's a sphere that's basically suspended in nothingness. Majority does, people together are idiots. You get a group of people around and oh my heavens, we Lord of the Flies it really quickly. Really, really quickly. A person can be smart, people can be quite dumb. Someone gets an idea and then the loudest voice and then we go with it and what we do is we go right back to the garden. We determine what is good and what is evil and gang, it's not working and it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked from the garden and it's not working for us today. Oh, Pastor Michael, you're trying to press for a theocracy here in the United States. This is not political. This is spiritual. This is every individual coming to their understanding that we are dependent upon God and that our initial response is to try to fix ourselves and we cannot fix ourselves because we can't tell what's good and what's evil. Pardon my yelling. I have no voice and so I'm not trying to be like that. Be that angry preacher guy. All right, Genesis 3:21. Let's see what God's... This is the beginning of the sacrificial system. Here's where it begins. Here's where we understand... Ultimately, why did Jesus have to die? This is the beginning. This is the big McGillicuddy. This is for all the marbles. Genesis 3:21. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of what? Okay, these are animal skins, and he clothed them. Just help me out, Pike Tuckians. How do you make leather? You go to the store and you buy it. Something has to die. This was God's response to covering sin. This was the very first sacrifice. Because something had to die in the Adamic covenant. In the day you eat of it, you are going to die. Okay? Death comes from sin. And so sin, it separates us. Sin has this thing where it removes us away. And when we are in a sinful state, which we all sin, we all fall short of the glory of God. We all try and we fail. You know, by the way, the definition of sin means to miss the mark. Okay? So if I'm an archer, if I'm shooting, if I have a target back there and my mark is the clock, and from here I'd be doing really well to hit that, and I launched it and I missed it, if I say close enough don't count. You have to hit the mark. You have to hit it. Otherwise, you, and the word is sin. In other words, you miss. Exodus chapter 3. Look what we have going on. God's reaching out to Moses. Okay? He's calling him. By the way, is Moses clean at this time? No! Moses is not! Moses is a messed up dude, okay? Moses is not in a good state. What are some things we know about Moses? Moses is frustrated. He supposes his toes are roses. No, but we know that he's murdered. We got all this stuff that's going on with Moses, and yet God calls out to him. In other words, God calls out to imperfect people. God wants imperfect people to come and to have relationship, and he wants to take them out of their imperfection. And so what do we hear? He says, look, he calls Moses, Moses, here I am. And he said, don't come near, take your sandals off your feet, for the place in which you're standing is holy ground. So we have a bit of a problem here. God is calling out to somebody who is not a perfect person. He's a perfect, pure God is calling out to all of us, but we have a problem. We can't come close because of our sin, because of our fallen condition. So we begin to understand some things here. God does, he calls the children of Israel out of Egypt. He performs miracles. He brings them to this foot of Mount Sinai. He gives instructions of how an unholy people can relate to a holy God, how they're supposed to relate with one another. And that is the book of Leviticus. First point today, or second point today, is this. Sin causes us to be unholy and separates us from God. As we said, the Hebrew word again for sin is kata. It means to miss the mark. It means to err. And we have 10 commandments that talk about how we miss the mark. But we also have 613 total laws. And they are all about our relationship with God, but they're also about our relationship with one another. And so sometimes our sin is against God. Everybody in this room has sinned against God. You know, we can look at our first several commandments about those things. You know, we've broken the Sabbath. We've done all these other things. We've had other gods before them. We've had idols. You know, we've had these issues. We've taken the Lord's name in vain. But then we have a bunch of other laws that talk about how we sin in our interaction with one another. So the law is a pretty complicated thing because it not only deals with how we interact with God, but how we interact with one another. So we can miss the mark on both areas. And so sin impacts our relationship with God as well as our relationships with one another. And now when we begin to get in the book of Leviticus, we see multiple, everybody say multiple, sacrifices. In other words, there's many sacrifices. Some of the sacrifices have to do with working with our relationship with God, and the other ones have to do with the effect of sin and making recompense. First seven chapters of Leviticus. Eat your broccoli. It's hard stuff. So let's get into it real quickly. Fasten your seatbelt, gang. We're almost done. I got two scriptures for you, but it's broccoli. Ready? Leviticus 1:1-9. The Lord called Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, again, now why would you bring an offering to the Lord? Because you have a sin problem. Because somehow you have violated one of God's laws. There's a separation and that has to be dealt with. It says, you shall bring your offering of livestock from the herd or from the flock. If his offering is a burnt offering, this is the first type of offerings, it has to do between us and God. He shall offer a male without blemish, and he shall bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting. Here's why. That he may be accepted before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Then he shall kill the bull before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring the blood and throw the blood against the sides of the altar that is at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And then he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. Lovely language here. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put the fire on the altar and arrange the wood of the fire. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall arrange the pieces, the head and the fat and the wood that is on the fire of the altar. But its entrails and its legs he shall wash with water. And then the priest shall offer all of it on the altar as a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to God. What in the world did we just read? What in the world did we just read? You know why it's hard for us? Because the average American family spends $125 a month on their pets. And now we're talking about this really brutal sacrifice and bloodshed and all this stuff. Is this somehow pleasing to God? Is this what makes God happy? Because I don't know, do I really want to have something to do with the guy who basically runs a slaughterhouse? Is this really what I want? How can I understand this? When we look at this through the lens of 2019, we struggle. So what's the lens that we can understand it? God lets us know. You see, the Bible talks about the law in the New Testament as a shadow. So if I want to cast a shadow, what do I need? I need a light, and I need something, and then they cast the shadow. A shadow is just black and white. It's just dark and light. It's the absence of where the light is. The light's coming, and something's blocking it out. Basically, the law is a shadow. It's a shadow of what? Isn't that a good question? I thought so, because this is the pinnacle of the entire sermon is coming to this. So bear with me as we kind of see what that is. Hebrews 8, 1 through 7. Now the point of what we're saying is this. We, talking about Christians, have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord sent set up, not man. In other words, there's a true tent, and then there's the tabernacle on earth. And he's saying the tabernacle on earth, the temple, that is not the true temple. That's not the true tabernacle. The true one is in heaven. And he says, goes on to talk the difference of the priesthood. He said, for every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus, it is necessary for the priest also to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. So he's talking about the earthly priesthood who are offering sacrifices. I can see everybody's eyes glazing over. Take a deep breath. You got to give me 3 more minutes, and we're going to land this plane. But this is the big 3 minutes, okay? Get some oxygen to your brain so you can get this, gang, because this will unlock the key to understanding understanding Leviticus. They serve, let's all read verse 5 together, at the end there, verse 5. Ready? 1, 2, 3. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, see that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain. Okay, hang out right there. So what was the pattern shown to him on the mountain? God took Moses, he put him in the cleft of the rock, he put his hand before him, he said, look, if you see me in all my glory, you're done. And he passed before him, and then he could see where God was going, what God was doing. Where was God going? He was going to the cross. What was God doing? He was establishing the cross. What cast the shadow of the law is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And you're saying, well, that can't possibly be, because that was before. The temple was before Jesus died. Hey, newsflash, God exists outside of time. And the scripture tells us that the lamb was slain before. Everybody say before. the foundations of the earth. Before you were ever born, before mankind ever was, God has omniscience, He has omnipresence, and He's not bound in time. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows everything that you will ever do, ever say, ever think, before you do it. And He's got it covered. And so what did He see? He saw the pattern of the cross. And the best way He could describe it was the sacrificial system. That a loving, perfect, and pure God was going to shed blood for the forgiveness of something. And that was what Jesus did. It's all about appreciating Jesus. Verse 6, but as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old. As the covenant He mediates is better, since it's enacted on better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, there had been no occasion to look for a second. In other words, none of this could have done it. You can't follow the law to make yourself right. You can't do good deeds to make God love you any more than He does, because He gave what was most precious for you. You can't make God love you more. He held nothing back. Gang, that's how much He loves you. So yeah, man, I get it. Leviticus is hard to read. Boy, it feels bloody and it feels rough, and it's what it's understanding is how far God wants to go and how serious God is about holiness and about fellowship with you. We don't follow the law to make us right. We are righteous by grace through faith. And we exceed. So what is the takeaway for us? Does that mean we don't have to follow the law? I would say, well, why would I want to follow the law now? Because the law can't fix me and can't make. What the law lets us know is what's pleasing and not pleasing to God. And so I don't. Many Christians today, and boy, I've been guilty from it from time to time, they approach their faith like this. What's the bare minimum that I can do and be okay? How much can I get away with and how much can I not get away with? How far can I go that I just don't pass the line? Because I'm really excited about this heaven thing, but you know, this holy living put its cramp in my style. Hello? When in essence, what we should be saying is this, the law, heck with that, I want to please God because I love Him. I want to please God because He is what I want to become, the greatest expression of love, even to the point of self-sacrifice. And so, gang, for us, we exceed the law in pleasing God because we love Him and He called us to be His, which is my final point, is that God calls us to be holy. So God is perfect and holy. God is perfect and holy. Our sin separates us. Our sin drives a wedge in between us. And God has called us to be holy, and God makes a way for us to be. And so how much greater is Christ? I want you to view the law as a shadow. It's a shadow. It's imperfect. It's flat. It's black and white. But what we understand is that grace gives us life and gives us the ability to serve God with a clean conscience. Amen. Amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.